In Britain, surveillance laws designed in part to combat terrorism are being used to track down litter bugs and spy on dog walkers who fail to clean up after their dogs. That has outraged privacy and human rights campaigners, but left the majority of Britons apparently unmoved. Vicky Barker reports.
Jenny Payton and her partner Tim Joyce of Poole in Dorset always knew the downside of living in one of England's most desirable harbour towns would be fierce competition to get their three-year-old into the best local school. But at their placement interview, they were shocked to hear local officials reciting intricate details of the family's daily routine. That's how they learned Poole's town council had used the 8-year-old Regulation of Investigatory Powers Act, or RIPA, to follow them for 2 weeks to see if they cheated on the school's residence requirement.
It's been a totally outrageous use of legislation.
Not just outrageous, Payton says, but unnecessary.
They could have come and knocked on our door, they could have asked for more utility bills, they could have done anything. Instead, they asked for our driving license, took the details of our car number plate, and they then used that to initiate the surveillance.
In fact, what Poole Council did was perfectly legal, and as privacy campaigner Simon Davey says, it's become routine in Tony Blair and Gordon Brown's Great Britain.
The government 3 years ago introduced legislation which eliminated all distinction between criminal offences. So now you can be compulsorily DNA tested for littering.
More than 1,000 new spy cases are launched each month to track underage smokers, dog walkers who don't clean up after their dogs, and others suspected of relatively petty crimes. All the councils have to do is satisfy government regulators the surveillance is necessary and proportionate.
If your child didn't get into a school and you think some other parent has cheated, believe me, you're going to think this is a proportionate use of the council's powers.
Richard Clayton, a security expert at Cambridge University, says there are limits. Councils can get phone records, but they can't, for instance, tap phones.
You can't go telephone tapping in order to work out whether or not somebody's throwing sweet wrappers away.
Theoretically, those who feel their privacy or human rights have been violated can appeal to a special tribunal. A spokeswoman concedes that in the 7 years of the tribunal's existence, only one such appeal has succeeded. But then, all those thousands of spy cases generate just a few dozen formal complaints each year. Simon Davies, the head of Privacy International, says the roots of that seeming apathy run deep.
The British value their privacy, but they also value public interest. When they are instructed by government to understand that privacy and data protection are enemies of the public interest, people will err in the favour of the public interest.
Bouncing gently on their double-decker bus, a group of London commuters sit in the semi-sullen torpor of rush-hour crowds everywhere. They ignore the full-sized video screens flashing live images from the vehicle's security cameras, just as they've come to ignore the CCTV cameras in train stations, airports, and city streets. With 4.2 million surveillance cameras, one for every 14 citizens, and the world's biggest DNA database, this is the most monitored democracy on the planet. A few years ago, Britain's own information commissioner warned his countrymen and women they were in danger, in his words, of sleepwalking into a surveillance society. Now, he says, they're already there. For NPR News, I'm Vicky Barker in London.